This is Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. We're your hosts, Robert Bound.
And I'm Marissa Mazuria-Katz. I'm a journalist and radio reporter currently in Rhode Island.
And I'm an editor and radio presenter based in London.
For this series, we're taking you to the Jordanian capital of Amman,
where in the winter of 2023, the American Friends Service Committee, a Quaker peace and justice organization, arranged a dialogue and exchange for artists and activists from the Middle East and North Africa.
For this second edition of Assembly, we're talking to some of those artists and activists
about how they use culture to build movements
and how they're uniquely poised to help us understand some difficult political and social issues.
I love when ideas are risky. And there's a lot of really going to the unknown.
I think we're falling into that trap of the very institutionalized, very proper, and it's good to shake that.
When you build this healthy relationship with your audience, they always feel the feeling of belonging.
During this second convening, we met people from Egypt, Jordan, Lebanon, Mauritania, Morocco, Palestine, Sudan, Syria, Tunisia, and Jordan, of which Amman is the capital.
And everyone had lots of reflections and questions.
For example, and as we touched upon in AFSC's previous Assembly series recorded at a similar convening in Casablanca, how do you make art when the world around you is changing so rapidly?
And how can you harness the power of art as a tool for resilience and social change when your own cultural landscape is beholden to turbulent political realities?
For this episode, we spoke with Nidal Kabi, a performer at the El Fanoun dance troupe in Palestine.
El Fanoun's work draws on deep traditions, but as we'll hear, they're constantly looking ahead and breaking new ground.
And always finding new ways of championing Palestinian identity while living under a military occupation. I wanted to ask you, first of all, about El Fanoun. It's some 42, 43 years old, I think. But could you give our listeners a sort of little potted history of El Fanoun dance troupe?
El Fanoun was established in 1979. It began with three young men who were dreaming of, you know, introducing folkloric dance to their community in order to preserve this heritage. Through the years, El Fanoun kept growing, kept producing so many art pieces. The choreography was getting developed through the years. It's this mix between the folkloric dance and contemporary dance. So somehow El Fanoun managed to do its own school in the performing arts in Palestine. Also, through its productions, it tackled many social issues related to women, related to the political statement they have as a Palestinians. You know, we are under occupation. We have many political statements that we are putting on stage in really this frame of creative dancing that mixes folklore and contemporary.
It's an incredible thing, that clever mixture of the folkloric and the contemporary and things that nod to the future is quite a rare mix, I would have thought. Maybe, Nidal, you can tell me if those decisions at a choreography level are also sort of at a political level, that you're trying to sort of nudge people toward the future a little bit, or toward at least the contemporary, with some of the ways that you dance and some of the topics that seem like they're tackled not head on, but kind of sideways on. They're sort of nudges towards the future, perhaps.
Actually, yes, El Fanoun basically deals with the folklore and the heritage as a living culture. They don't believe that you don't touch the heritage or touch the folklore. They deal with it as a living culture. They believe that it has its own identity that can always be developed. So seeing this context, which is one of the main axes of what El Fanoun believes in, I think, based on this, there was so many social and political statements that they are really were aware of putting it through the dance and the choreography and even the customs sometimes and the lighting and the scenography and the dramaturge and the direction of all the artistic productions they had through the 43 years they've been working within the local context or also the regional context. So one of the main things Zelf Unoun did was to push forward along with the community, since they are really working with the community. Like in the 80s, people were refusing that men and women on a stage putting hand in hand and dancing together. But Zelf Unoun somehow break this taboo. And in the 90s, later on, it seemed very normal for men and women to dance together hand in hand on stage. So that's that small changes Zelf Unoun keeps pushing and pushing and pushing in order to always make this statement of progressive community who respect each other, who has a vision for its own independence, especially in this context of Israeli occupation.
And it's an interesting thing. You mentioned there men and women dancing hand in hand. It's something that wasn't seen on certain stages in that time period, as you say, breaking down societal norms or taboos, as you might call them. That must be quite a moment. And it must mean that Zelf Unoun is quite a juggernaut, quite a powerful movement in itself, if it can sidestep the politics and nudge people towards what it would like to say about the world.
Zelf Unoun actually managed to really work with the people. I mean, they have so many programs like outreach training. They go to, refugee camps, they go to villages, they train the youth. So it somehow, it builds its own audience. So this is very important as you're working with the community to really build this clear and healthy relationship with the society. That's one side. And the other side, actually, Zelf Unoun artistic productions were really creative through the years. I mean, they even pushed the folklore, which is something really interesting, even for the society, that they put the folklore not in its classical way on the stage. They put it really in this modern, contemporary style that can be really seen from different perspectives.
I suppose you're putting a different slant on history. You're using the folklore, the history, to tell a contemporary story.
Definitely. This is something Zelf Unoun also aware of. It's like how you bring your own history and review it with the tools of your contemporary daily life today. This is a really important aspect of Zelf Unoun.
I wonder how close you are with your audience. If they know every time that a taboo will be broken or that they're being pushed a little bit.
Well, it really depends on the shows. There are some shows that we, as Zelf Unoun, such in areas like Hebron, Zelf Unoun insisted on doing the performance. I mean, the people were in the area refusing that men and women are together on stage. Yeah, at some stages, Zelf Unoun pushed and insist on doing some programs or some cultural events here or there. But overall, I think Zelf Unoun uses this soft ideology, and they really depend on the cumulative work through the years. I mean, they know it's a long process. Working with the society, you need to have patience. You really need to let things take its time. So yeah, overall, sometimes they pushed and insist on doing something that really was very important for Zelf Unoun. But overall, they use this, patient, long working in a healthy relationship with the society.
In your experience on stage and watching from the wings as well, what is that like to see different audiences react to the same dance in different ways depending upon where it's being performed?
Definitely. There's many segments in the society that have different backgrounds, either political or ideological, and each of one of these segments interact differently with Zelf Unoun. But let me say that Zelf Unoun really cares about going to the marginalized areas that they do not get to see a professional act of art. So that's their main concentration as Zelf Unoun. They really go and work with those less luckily societies, marginalized. And when we see their reaction, they're very happy. I mean, they've seen something they didn't see before. They interact with it very positively. And we feel sometimes we put barriers that is really virtual. It's not there. I mean, you just go to the people and you will see the positive interactive most of the times.
El Fanoun is a genuine success, playing to packed houses in all the places it plays. Do you think its success as a business is part of its success as a meaningful cultural and social venture?
I always ask myself why El Fanoun is such a success. I mean, there's so many layers that you have to really analyze and study it in a methodological way to get to the answer. But on different levels, I mean, on artistic level, El Fanoun kept developing itself. I mean, the dancers, they took workshops from around the world, either contemporary dance, ballet, other traditional folklore dances from the region or from Africa even, or from Latin America. I mean, there's this always exposure to other experiments in the dance all around the world. That's what keeps the El Fanoun alive and doing, also always developing the choreography, always introducing something new. The second thing is the audience. I mean, when you build this healthy relationship with your audience, I mean, they always feel the feeling of belonging to El Fanoun, even if they're not like a formal members of El Fanoun, but they have this sense of communicating always with El Fanoun. They feel that they belong to this body, to this entity. Plus, adding to that, I think working with the youth also and giving them spaces to, you know, express their feelings, their opinions, etc. It's very healthy and important for El Fanoun to grow and develop always.
The fact that it's dance, the fact that it's not got lyrics and it's not a play with a script, the fact that it's very noisy in a good way, but it's got no words, helps with what you might call its social mission or its political mission, that it's a more subtle form of persuasion than giving people what might sound like a lecture, perhaps.
Yes, I mean, talking with the people through different art of types, it's basically talking at the end, but, you know, you put it in a structure of really creative performance way of talking to the people. I think in this way, people will, again, feel the feeling of belonging to their community, to the El Fanoun, to the entity. So I think when you talk to the people about their identity, because dance and folkloric dance, it has a really big share of our identity as a Palestinians. So talking with the people through this part of the identity is really important and can make results way much more than talking, just talking in a lectures.
What's the most important thing that El Fanoun does that isn't maybe political or is accidentally political, but is about the physical and about the experience of seeing brilliant performers on stage?
Well, there's a lot of aspects through this. I mean, the choreography is great. The precision of the movements is also great. The scenography, the lightning, the customs of El Fanoun, and really giving people hope. Regarding the political statement, I mean, it's not accidental. El Fanoun, aware of its political and social statements all over its artistic productions through the years. So basically, giving joy to people and giving them also hope, since the Palestinian context is really complicated, I think also one of the success factors for El Fanoun. Yes, definitely.
That was Nidal Kabi, a dancer with the Palestinian dance troupe El Fanoun, talking to Assembly, a podcast series from the American Friends Service Committee. I'm Marissa Mazuria-Katz.
And I'm Robert Bounds. Thank you for joining us.